From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kearns with you once again to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in. I trust that you'll be able to stay with us for the next half hour as we continue our look at Psalm 68, verse 18, and the subject, Christ leading captivity captive and giving gifts unto men. It's a great text that we have, a glorious subject that gives us four wondrous views of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the sight of Christ by faith that we need today, with Christ at hand, with Christ in the sight of faith, we can face anything. So it's important that we see Him as He's set forth in Scripture. I trust, as I say, you'll stay with us, as in a few minutes we look again at Psalm 68, verse 18. First, however, our daily devotional Bible study comes from John 19, verse 5, where we have the text, Behold the Man. In this scene, Pilate made his last attempt to avoid crucifying the innocent object of Jewish hatred. After the hours of scourging, a form of torture and whippings so awful that many had died under it, Jesus Christ stood before Pilate, and Pilate remained convinced that there was no fault at all in him. He presented the lacerated, torn, and bleeding figure to the audience of the enraged Jewish populace. It seems that Pilate hoped that one look at Christ's scourged form would appease and satisfy their thirst for blood. But he was wrong, for they still cried out, Crucify him! Crucify him! Those enemies of the Son of God were not to be appeased with only some drops of Christ's blood, but with its last drop, resulting in his death. The wonder of the gospel plan is that, shameful as those sinners' treatment of the Lord Jesus was, it accomplished the very demand made by God's justice for justifying sinners. What the Jews insisted upon out of hatred, the justice of God had decreed from all eternity, according to Acts 4:27 and 28. When Christ took upon him the office of sin-bearer and became an offering for sin, he must not only bleed, he must also die. The law knew no mercy. The redemption of souls required more than just some of Christ's blood. It required the very last drop. As justified sinners, we must never forget the ransom that was demanded for our release. Let us behold the man with humble, penitent hearts and rejoice that by the shedding of his blood, he purchased our eternal salvation. And our thought for the day comes from the Puritan Thomas Watson, who said, Christ looked upon as bleeding and dying is the proper object of our faith.
My praise, redeemer's praise, God, Lord.
last couple of weeks, we have been making a very special free offer to our VCY listeners. We're offering to all who write to us to request it, Dr. Mike Barrett's excellent book on Daniel. Dr. Barrett is an eminent Old Testament scholar, and in this hardback book, he leads us to see what many books on Daniel miss, namely the comfort of knowing that our sovereign God is in complete control of all that's happening in the world today. Thus, the book of Daniel is a powerful answer to those who look at perplexing things that are going on in the world today and ask, where is God in all this? Dr. Barrett's study of Daniel will show you the answer and will thereby greatly bless your soul. So why not write today for your free copy of Dr. Mike Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is freepres@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you.
Come ye disconsolate,
turn to our study of Psalm 68, verse 18. Thou hast ascended up on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Yesterday, we looked at the first of four great truths taught in this text, the identification of the Lord Jesus Christ as God. Today, we proceed from the text's testimony to Christ's true identity to what it says about his victory. The second great truth that the psalmist emphasizes is his victory. Now remember again that Ephesians 4 is quoting this psalm as regards Christ, that he has ascended up on high and he has led captivity captive. Now I don't want to get into unnecessary controversy this morning, and I'm not going to do what I too often do and go up a side path for too far. But I have to address this because most of you will have grown up listening to what purports to be an exposition of this text, but which is really a misapplication of it. And that is that many take this text, "Thou hast ascended up on high and led captivity captive," to say that until the resurrection, that's what they say, but this is talking about the ascension, and somehow they forget about the 40 days in between. But until this time, when Christ ascended into heaven, the Old Testament saints were held in captivity. The Roman Catholic Church has perpetuated this with its notion of limbus patrum, some sort of a halfway house between heaven and hell. Many fundamentalists don't believe in limbus patrum, and they don't believe in purgatory, but they do believe that the Old Testament saints were held in a sort of a, is it unconscious, semi-conscious, semi-darkened state, neither bliss nor gloom, neither heaven nor hell, but they were Old Testament believers, but they couldn't yet get into heaven, for Christ had not yet ascended, and we are told that here his leading captivity captive was his leading the Old Testament saints out of their captivity. And so on his death he went down to hell to set them free. 1 Peter 3 is often cited in proof of this as well. And again, that's another gross misapplication of what Peter says in 1 Peter 3. If you want to get my discussion of that, you've got to go back to one of the 2000, no, don't think it was 2000, it just seemed that way, messages that I preached on 1 Peter many years ago. And those of you who were here in those days will remember it seemed like 2000 messages. Your Bibles just fell open in 1 Peter. You'll have to go back that far to get the discussion of that point. As I say, I'm not getting into that controversy. I believe the Old Testament saints died and they went to heaven. I know from Luke 16 that they went to paradise. I know from 2 Corinthians 12 that paradise is the third heaven. It's the heaven of heavens. It's where God's throne is. So I can't get away from that. I remember a preacher telling me, but they couldn't get in. And I said, why not? Well, Christ hadn't yet died. I said, he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. His blood had its efficacy from before time began. I asked him, were they justified? Yes, they were. Well, if they're justified, what can keep them out of heaven? Whom he justified, he also glorified. So, well, they couldn't get in. Well, why could they not get in? Well, and we went over it and over it and over it and over it. It's like he said, I said, you do, you don't, you know. But the truth is, they're justified. We're not going to get into it any further than that. Except to say that palpably this is not the meaning of this text. Leading captivity captive is not a phrase that we're left to wonder, what does it mean? It first appears in the Song of Deborah in Judges chapter 5, and it makes its meaning clear. Judges 5:12, Deborah sings, "Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam." And the meaning is clear, that Barak had led captive those who had held Israel captive. And he had removed from Israel the fear of falling back into that captivity. And that's the true force of the expression, leading captivity captive. That's the true force of these words in our text. And it has a wonderful testimony. So instead of being carried away with some esoteric notion of some limbo between heaven and hell that Jesus went into to lead a captive people out,
Instead of getting into that, see the real force of these words. Listen, let me just follow it step by step. Christ's people were held captive by malignant powers. And there's no doubt as to what those powers were. First among them, there was Satan. 2 Timothy 2:25 and 26, Paul expresses the hope that God will give sinners repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who were taken captive by him at his will. The "at his will" is one of the most interesting little phrases in the New Testament, talking about the sovereignty of God. Because it's not the devil's will that's in vogue here and view here. It's God's will, believe it or not. But we're not going to get into that one either. I just throw that out that you can go home and start studying it. But it says they're certainly held captive by the devil. By Satan. Now let's understand this. The first dark, black, malignant power to hold sinners captive is Satan himself. As Paul says in Ephesians 2 verse 2, regarding the believers there, that in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Giving his call to the ministry, Paul said he was called to go to preach the gospel, to have sinners delivered from the power of Satan. Writing to the Colossians in chapter 1 verse 13, he said that they had been delivered from the power of darkness. Now put all these together. There are dark, malignant powers. The Bible calls them principalities and powers. They're headed up by Satan himself, and they held us captive. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, in bondage. We're also, of course, held captive by sin. Paul told the Romans in chapter 6, verse 17, and again verse 20, you were the servants, you were the slaves of sin. In chapter 5, verse 20 of Romans, he says, sin hath reigned unto death. And so we were under the power, not only of Satan, but of sin. Then you add a third element. The law held us captive to its curse. Galatians chapter 3 verse 10. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. The law holds every sinner in a vice-like grip, and it will not let him go. The law will not be denied. I want you to understand this. We live in a day when law counts for nothing. We live in a day, even in Christian pulpits and Christian preaching, the preaching of the law counts for nothing. We live in a day when men do that which is right in their own eyes, and they think if they can justify it to themselves, that they carry God along with them. I heard it said in a recent radio program that we don't want to have this Old Testament view of an angry God. I have news for the idiot that said that. Doesn't matter 2 cents what you want. God's law holds men in an inflexible, unbreakable grip, as far as the power of man's concerned. And no matter what law of man changes, no matter what standards of man may change, the law of God is the expression of the eternal, immutable, righteous and holy nature of the one who gave it, and it will never, never change. So the law holds sinners captive to its curse. And death, consequently, holds sinners captive unto hell. Romans 5:17, by one man's offense, death reigned. What's the end of the reign of death? Revelation 20 verse 4 says, death and hell, or death and the grave, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Sin is judged by law, which brings death, which issues in the lake of fire. Oh, God's people were held like all others who are the sons of Adam, captive by malignant powers. But our text teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ personally engaged all those powers that held his people captive. Now let me make this clear. There is no way for a sinner to free himself from the grip of Satan. First of all, he doesn't want to. And second, if he did, he couldn't. There is no way for a sinner to free himself from the tyranny of sin. There is no way for a sinner to free himself from the curse of the law. There is no way for a sinner to free himself from the reign of death and the imminent danger of eternal hell. So what is he to do? What good could ever happen to him? Cast your mind back to the history of the children of Israel. When Israel was terrorized by Goliath, she needed a champion. And God gave her one. Terrorized by Satan and sin and the curse and death and hell, we need a champion. And God has given us a greater than David. No champion could be found among the sons of men. No champion could be found among the angels of glory. But thank God, the Lord laid his hand upon one that was mighty. He laid his hand upon his own dear Son, and the Son of God himself alone could, and thank God did, engage in such a task. Willingly did he come. He battled Satan. At his birth, Satan tried to slay him. In his temptation, Satan tried to slay him. When he first appeared at Nazareth, Luke chapter 4, Satan sought to have him slay him. Throughout his life, they sought to murder him again and again. In Gethsemane, Satan sought to slay him. And it all failed because on Calvary, he brought it all together. And the Lord Jesus Christ battled Satan and beat him absolutely. Not only that, he battled sin. He invaded the kingdom of darkness. He submitted himself to all the rigors of the law. He gave himself up to die and to lie under the power of death for 3 days. He engaged these malignant powers that were against us.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak,
you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.